Let's head to the UK now, and our correspondent is Matt Dathan. And Matt, are we another step along the road for a way out of lockdown? Welcome.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm not sure I can match your previous guess, but
you don't need to comment.
certainly the reason to be hopeful, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel here in the UK after, what is it now, six, seven weeks into our national lockdown. Yeah, Boris Johnson laid out on Monday a very long roadmap out of these restrictions, which he initially said would only last, well, could be lifted by now, actually. But no, we're looking at another 4 months of restrictions being in place. But they do start to be lifted on the 8th of March with the return of schools. And then soon after that, we're allowed to go and meet one other person from another household outside to socialise, because currently we can only meet one other person outside to exercise, which is brilliant when it's been below zero temperatures and snowing here in the UK.
I honestly just don't know how the tolerance has held. How are people responding to now having some sort of key dates? What's been the general tenor of response in the media and elsewhere?
It's a very good question, really. I think a lot of people are taking it in very different ways. Tory MPs, for example, in the government's party are very angry at the very snail's pace of the lifting of restrictions, because there's four steps to these restrictions. First step is 8th of March with schools. The second step is mid-April, where we can start meeting in groups of six outdoors. Then it's May the 17th, so there's 5 weeks in between these three steps, four steps. The third step, May the 17th, we can start meeting inside up to six people or two different households. And then another 5 weeks, June the 21st, that is the earliest date at which the government will consider lifting all these restrictions altogether, and we could actually be going back to nightclubs, God forbid. So the reaction has been different. One of the reactions has been actually Brits booking a load of summer holidays. I think bookings has absolutely skyrocketed since Monday. One estate agent said they've received 10 times the amount of bookings since Monday. And I mean, let's bear in mind, the government said by May the 17th, that is the earliest date at which they would allow international travel. So there's not even a date in the diary for when international travel will be allowed. And at the moment, there's always a risk that you might have to quarantine in a hotel on your return, because if you're from a high-risk country, such as South Africa or Portugal or Brazil, then you have to quarantine in a hotel. So Brits are gambling, but I think it just shows that Brits are absolutely desperate for some sunshine and to get out of their homes and to get out of the UK.
As part of the plan, I understand that we've got the date for the schools to reopen, but secondary school pupils will be required to wear masks. Is this going to be problematic to get compliance with, do you think?
I think so, yeah. So all schools, the government has basically put schools right at top of the priority list for getting back as they rightly should be. So all schools and all students will be able to return starting on March the 8th, as well as secondary school pupils aged over 11 having to wear masks in the classroom. Can you imagine that? Every day at school having to wear a mask. Kids will also have to take tests. And there's been a bit of an issue because initially they've thought, you can get parents to test their kids before they go to school. But I mean, if you ask any parent here in the UK, having had their kids every day at home for the vast majority of the last 12 months, the prospect of their kid having to isolate at home for another 10 days is beyond the pale. So I don't think there's a huge amount of trust that parents will actually, conduct the tests correctly. So you've got a very different kind of picture of kids going back to school, taking tests as they arrive, and then having to wear masks. But it just shows the government will do anything they can to basically get all kids back to school as soon as possible. And the price that the rest of society will have to pay for that is we'll have to wait a bit longer to go to the pub.
What are they doing also on what has been a year of disruption for students? You know, many of them have hardly been at school for much of this past year. And is there a focus on how to try and catch up what's really a lost year of education, possibly, for many?
Yeah, that's right. Today, the Education Secretary, Gavin Williamson, announced a £720 million package, which, you know, that is still a huge amount of money. You know, obviously, everything is in comparison at the moment, and £720 million isn't as big as it might be have been seen a year ago. But, yeah, no, that will help offer pupils four different options, really. Weekly tutoring, if they want. They can also retake the year. There's extended school days for kids to catch up after class. And then also an increased support for well-being and mental health. But obviously, money can't really replace what has been a year of lost contact with their friends and that kind of daily routine of leaving the house and meeting other people, which is so sort of fundamental to kids' well-being.
Now, the vaccine rollout has delivered on time, has it? The goal to have the most vulnerable vaccinated by mid-Feb?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the one big success story the government can proudly declare victory on so far is the vaccine programme in the UK. By last Monday, around about a third of the whole population had received their first dose of either Pfizer or AstraZeneca jab, and that included all over 70s, and we're well into the 60-year-olds now. The government today responded to criticism that of some disabled adults not getting the jab, so they've made sure that they've basically bumped up all adults with learning disabilities as a priority. That came after a celebrity DJ, Joe Wiley, caused a lot of headlines when she revealed that her disabled sister hadn't received an offer for the first dose, and yet she had, which seemed quite ludicrous. So the government responded to that, and they're much more agile on the vaccination front. And yes, we're just waiting any day now. The government are going to announce the next phase of the vaccination. So by the end of March or beginning of April, they hope to have vaccinated, or at least given the first dose of the vaccine, to all over 50s. And that will take, they think, that will basically eradicate 99% of hospitalizations caused by COVID, which should be a real milestone. And I think people will be able to sigh a huge sigh of relief then. But then the next stage is who then gets it next. And we're expecting the government's vaccination committee to recommend. Well, they have already recommended. It just hasn't been made public. We think that has recommended not to prioritise key workers such as teachers, police and supermarket workers, despite a massive sort of clamour and campaign to. Because it will just be too, you know, just slow down the whole process of trying to identify those different groups. So they're going to carry on, we think, prioritising by age. So the next sort of tranche will be 40, 45-year-olds, then 40-year-olds, 35, 30, and so on. But so yeah, tonight we've learnt that they are recommending that you know, certain institutions where people live, such as residential homes, obviously, has already been vaccinated, but also prisons are going to be vaccinated en masse. That's what they're recommending. Now, if the government approved that, that would mean that prisoners, for example, would get the vaccination before a lot of teachers and police. And I think that's going to cause quite a lot of controversy in the coming days. So one to watch out for.
Just a couple of minutes left. I'm not sure where Brexit and its dramas have got to, because obviously there's a dominant one at the moment. But I was noting a former French ambassador writing a scathing book about your Prime Minister and the costs of Brexit already being close to what the total the country's paid to the EU has been since its inception. Doesn't seem like a very diplomatic post-career book to write, but is there just a holding pattern at the moment with much of politics and much of Brexit because this is such a priority?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the real cost of and also the benefit of Brexit won't be realised for years to come. And I think even government ministers have publicly admitted that in the last couple of weeks, that I think what Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary, said it could take 10 years to realise the benefits of Brexit because of the, you know, the trade deals that we're trying to sign. The benefits of those won't sort of trickle through for some years to come. But at the moment, we're seeing the very big costs of Brexit because of the extra checks and the red tape at the borders, and especially this disruption caused in Northern Ireland with its land border with Ireland. And but I mean, it crosses over with COVID as well, with the EU's decision, controversial decision a few weeks ago, which overturned very quickly to effectively close the border in Ireland to stop vaccinations going to Northern Ireland. So, I mean, I think we'll see Brexit as it rumbles on. As COVID hopefully fades away, I think Brexit will then become the dominant issue towards the end of this year.
Thank you. It's always appreciated. Matt Dathan, our UK correspondent.